Christy had moved back toward the half-open door of the bedroom.
I've had this feeling, you know, since they first appeared on the horizon. Bad feeling, Mildred.
Yeah. Be right with you. Let me throw on some clothes.
Raylene lay on the bed, a crumpled sheet rucked around her bare feet. She had changed from her cloak into a thin cotton shift, soaked with sweat across her wrinkled breasts, stained with yellow bile down over her scrawny belly. Her face was filmed with perspiration, and as pale as wind-washed bone. Her husband sat on the floor by her, holding her hand.
Oh, come on, hon. It'll be fine. Just hang on. When we sail the big one, it'll be fine. The Lord will be pleased with us.
When does she start being sick, Ronnie?
Oh, I don't know.
This morning? Last night?
No. About 3 days ago, I guess. Maybe 2 days. It's been getting worse. I feel real bad, too. I got an ache across my head like someone's tightening a band of red-hot steel, and I feel like throwing up here and now.
Should I get a bowl and cloth?
Mildred turned and saw that Dean was peering in through the doorway.
Yeah, do that. Where's Jack?
Gone out in the field someplace. Milking the cows, maybe. Don't know, Mildred.
Okay. Bring that cloth and bowl and some fresh water, and put a kettle on for hot water, Dean.
Gradually, Raylene was lurching back to full consciousness. Mildred leaned over the woman, peering at her eyes, seeing how bloodshot they were. Raylene raised a shaky hand and touched her own mouth.
Hurts.
She reached between her sore, cracked lips and felt around. She grabbed something and gave it a gentle tug. She had pulled out one of her front incisors, the roots of the pointed tooth bright crimson.
Oh, Gaia!
Mildred felt a physical shock as all of the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle slotted into place at once.
Of course. Rad cancer.
The doctor washed her hands in the kitchen while Christy buttered some toast. Ronnie and Raylene had both gotten into their bed, and the rumpled sheets had been straightened and tucked in around them. Both of them had fallen almost instantly into a fevered, exhausted sleep. Dean had gone out to look for Jack and hadn't yet returned.
How long?
Hours at the shortest. For her. Maybe 4 or 5 days for him. Can't tell. Shit! I don't know. Cryonics was my specialty. Freezing people, not diagnosing rad cancer and giving a probable time of death.
Christy stared out the window across the kitchen garden.
How'd they catch it?
Enough hot spots around the plateau to chill everyone left alive in the Deathlands.
Isn't there anything you can do for them?
Mildred's face was bleak, her mouth set in a tight line.
If I had access to my drugs, I could probably make their passing a little easier.
Nothing else?
Truth is, Christy, that the best and kindest thing to do would be to simply put a bullet through each of their heads while they're asleep.
Raylene was sick again later, her whole body contorted, her eyes staring as she fought for breath. Blood-specked froth trickled from the corner of her mouth. Christy and Mildred did what they could for her, washing her again after the spasm had passed, holding her hand when she wept in terror. There was still no sign of Dean and Jack. The two youths reappeared about half an hour later, walking together in silence from the corrals, across the yard and up onto the porch. Christy met them at the door into the kitchen.
You've been milking and taking care of the animals?
Yeah, that and other stuff.
How are the strangers, Christy? They still sick? We found something. Well, that is, Jack found something, and he wants you all to just...
Quiet.
Jack's red eyes turned to Christy, and she saw the bad news written there, as clear as on a highway billboard.
They're dying. Mildred says they've both got terminal rad sickness.
I know why.
Mildred came out from the kitchen carrying a bowl of fouled water.
You know the source of their illness, Jack?
Yeah.
What?
Come see.
Jack led the way out to the large barn where Ronnie and Raylene's rig was stored. Their wag horses were in a small separate corral to the side of the building, and Mildred looked at them, noticing that both animals looked conspicuously unwell. One was repeatedly rubbing its head against a fence post, and a large abscess opened by its left eye attracted hordes of flies. The other horse was trembling as if it had a feverish ague. Its hindquarters were streaked with a green-yellowish discharge. Jack caught Mildred's look and nodded, his white hair blowing back in the light breeze.
Yeah, them too.
One of the pair of double doors stood wide open, and they all hesitated on the threshold.
Gaia, the taint of evil's so strong here I can hardly even breathe.
Jack took a couple of steps into the gloom, then stopped.
We gotta leave.
The barn? We have to see what is in here.
No, I show you, then we all leave. Right away.
Nobody spoke. Jack moved toward the canvas-topped Conestoga wag. Mildred kept thinking that what they were doing was madness. They should turn right now and run away as far as they could possibly go, and never come back. Despite that, she allowed Jack to lead them around the rear of the rig, where the stained cloth had been pulled open. He hopped inside while they gathered around, their eyes slowly becoming accustomed to the semi-darkness. The treasure had been partly untied, a single layer of the wrapping keeping it hidden. Jack uncovered it.
There.
It was a little over 9 feet long in white painted metal. It was scratched, chipped, and dented. One of the four tail fins was broken off. The nose cone had a small split in it, showing a mass of colored wires in a rainbow tangle of confusion. Christy felt a deathly cold sickness sweep over her. She could read the set of numbers and initials along the side of the ICBM, giving its provenance, its trade name, neatly stenciled in dark blue lettering. Custer. Worst of all was the gash that had been sliced in the flank of the nuke missile, nearly 18 inches long, revealing the leaking innards of its rad-potent warhead.
Let's go talk to the Warrens.
Judas didn't prove so amenable when Suki decided that she was feeling a little tired on the steep descent and wanted to ride on his back. He twice turned and snapped at her arms, once nipping a fold of flesh just below the elbow.
Ow! You ungrateful son of a bitch, mule! I saved you from a beating and then you do that to me? Up and bit me good!
Perhaps I should venture to offer a small chastisement to the brute, Suki?
Beat the tar out of it for all I care, Doc. Long as you don't get blood on me.
Doc drew the lama from his belt and reversed it, gripping the ornately decorated barrel, his spread fingers obscuring most of the delicate inscription that read, General Jeb Stuart. Judas looked up at him out of his deep, brown, mournful eyes, his long head drooping.
Oh, look, Doc. I guess that this is his way of letting us know that he's sorry.
I beg your pardon?
Suki smiled and patted the animal on the side of its neck.
I guess we can forgive him just one little mistake, can't we, Doc, dearest?
One?
Well, he didn't actually manage to get his teeth into me the first time, so that truly doesn't count. We should show a little Christian charity to poor dumb beasts.
Doc shook his silvery head. He lowered the big lama and slipped it back into its holster.
You damnable denizen of the basest levels of great Dante's Purgatorio! And if you should ever again do aught to harm the person of this great lady, then I swear I shall drive your brains clean out of your rectal orifice!
You've got such a fine, round way of saying things, Doc.
Why, thank you, my little chickadee.
They carried on, picking their way slowly across the flank of one of the nameless mountains, ever closer to the desert floor, and ever closer to the ranch, where the others would be waiting patiently for Doc's return. At lunchtime, they sat together and discussed places that they'd visited. For Suki, this meant talking mainly about frontiervilles across the Midwest and up into the wildness of the High Plains country. Doc kept her entranced by his tales of other big cities around the world. He still hadn't broken the news of his being time-trawled, though he was going to during the afternoon, so he wrapped up his anecdotes as though they were things that he'd once read when he'd come across a substantial pre-dark library, buried among some hidden ruins.
There is a fabled city in Spain.
Where's that? Think I went there once. Pest hole in the Black Hills.
No, this Spain was a country in Europe, far across the mighty waters of the Atlantic Ocean. The Atlantic, as it now seems to be known.
Is Europe like the Homeville where those yellow, slant-eyed people come from?
Yellow? That would probably be either China or Japan, my dear. But, however...